Blog Talk Radio.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Good afternoon. This is a special edition of Saturday Morning with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keyes. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for all your support. Even when I was on a little bit of a hiatus, you guys were still downloading. I really appreciate that. Thank you. As you know, got a lot of giveaways, so just check the social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. You might be able to win a book, a movie, all kinds of things. So just check on there, follow. Well, today I have, multi-talented actor, He's a thespian, not just an actor, he is a thespian. He has been on Broadway, and he has been on TV. He has been in film. His name is Curtis Cook, and you might have seen him recently on Showtime's The Chi. Good afternoon, Curtis.
Hey, Joy. What's up, folks, and everybody out there? Joy, I heard you say you're giving away giveaways. I'm going to call in, and I'm going to get me a giveaway, and I want a giveaway, Joy. Please, something, a book, a movie, something, please.
Oh, my goodness. You don't need a giveaway. You got lots of stuff you can give to us, like your knowledge.
Right, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Okay. Well, maybe it ain't too much knowledge, but I'm going to send y'all something. I promise.
You're going to send us? Okay, that's good. Well, let's just start with this crazy COVID thing. How is your family handling this? What are you doing to deal with this situation?
It's been rough, and then it's been beautiful in the same sense. So it's been rough because of how abrupt the stop was. You know what I mean? My wife is currently still on Broadway, and it literally was like that morning, got a call saying Broadway's closed. So that was the first thing.
Wow.
And then a couple of days after that, my two youngest children, Harlem and Jay, they're twins, they're 16, and then got the call that school is out. You know what I mean? So it was like, Then my mother-in-law lives in a city. We're like about 70 miles outside of the city. My mother-in-law was in the city, and so we were like, okay, we can't leave my mother-in-law there by herself in the city if they're shutting everything down. So we had to make a quick dash, go pick her up, and bring her out here to our house. You know what I mean? So
and
that feeling of not knowing. It's like, what's going on? It was like a really bad movie, you know, and like a very scary movie.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, this is – so that was the rough part of it. And then I have to remember – my three oldest children – Curtis, Isis, and Kimani, they live in the city in Manhattan. One lives in Brooklyn, one lives in Queens, and one lives in Harlem. So, and then it was that feeling of worrying about, are they okay? Are you okay? And trying to keep in contact with them. So that was the scariness and the rough part of all of it.
The unknown.
And then the
yeah.
beauty. Yeah, the whole unknown of it. And then the beauty was that the fact that the five of us, my mother-in-law, my wife, and the two youngest ones, we got to spend all this time together that we, you know, everybody's always so busy. You know, my daughter, you know, she does all these musical things here up in where we live, and she's in the band, and my son is a big sports head. He plays football, and he's playing, he runs track. So there, nobody's ever really home like this. My wife, you know, is commuting back and forth to the city. So we've taken this time to sit down, to communicate until we started playing Scrabble. We have the Scrabble competition that we've been doing, which is horrible because if you can not sitting around with a 16-year-old boy waiting 20 minutes for him to put down a T next to the I and talk about, I got it. And you're like, boy, okay, you know what? You ain't playing no more. And then we got to do that. And then we also started binging things. So I never got to see The Watchmen. So we all sat down as a family and watched
that. Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
Oh,
yes.
It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're on Game of Thrones, where we started Game of Thrones. I didn't know that there were so many episodes, so we're only on season 5, episode 2. But but we're enjoying that as well. So that's the beauty part of it. And we're very fortunate. We've been fortunate. None of our family members have been hit hard by the COVID, but I've had friends who have been unfortunately stricken with the disease, and then a friend of ours passed away. So that's, you know, and that was rough. And then, of course, you know, 2020 keeps throwing out some more stuff, you know, then the trauma continues. And so it's the beauty part of it is I get to hold my son and my daughter and my wife and my mother-in-law, and I'm looking them in the face and, you know, and know that they're safe, and FaceTime and Google, what is it called, Zoom or Doom or
Google,
whatever the thing
play,
is.
Yeah.
Duo.
You got Zoom, you got Google, all kinds of stuff, Skype, everything.
Right. Yeah.
You can do WhatsApp.
So I get to see them.
Yep.
Right. On a regular basis, and I got 2 new grandchildren, so I get to see those boys' faces too. So it's like,
wow.
Yeah, I'm old.
See, that's the beautiful part, you know. Also, I saw you exercising online with your kids, so you got the whole family involved, you know.
Yep.
That was really cool, you know. Some people can't do that. Some people, even in this situation, they feel like they're stuck together and they don't want to be next to each other. But it seems like you've worked something out there. Now, we also have this other drama going on, the George Floyd incident that triggered these marches and protests. We also have missing women, you know, Breonna Taylor.
Yes.
Now, most recently, we have
hanging. Yeah.
What are your thoughts about this?
It hurts. It hurts, Joy. It hurts. And it it's one of those things that I have to be careful, because I have to, you know, keep my mental facilities intact, because I can allow myself to open up so far that it almost feels as if these things are directly happening to me. I feel like sometimes I'm like an empath, like I can literally be in the fire of whatever is going on. So I have to watch and try to dissect it and try to make some type of sense out of it, and then. And then on top of that, I have to make sure that my younger children are seeing me move through, you know, and they continue to move.
Right.
Because once again, if I let myself open up too much, I'll stop. I'll just kind of sit on the couch. I'll go in the room. I'll turn the lights out, and I'll just have to try to find some kind of wholeness again. So it hurts.
So what do you tell your children? What do you tell your children, and how to deal with society now? When they go out, like, what are you telling them to be aware of? What is the conversation? You know, the black parent conversation that, you know, we have to have with our children that you have. What is that?
You know, it's so my daughter, the twin girl, she decided to go out and protest. And our community that we live in now. Yeah. She's young. Yeah, the 16.
Okay.
And actually, my middle daughter as well, the 24-year-old, she went out in the city and protest. She's been doing it on a pretty regular basis. But so when the daughter here went down to our downtown area where we live now, and we're not in a predominantly black neighborhood. Let me just say that. I had to say, and we're in a open carry state as well. So I had to say to her, you know, I understand.
But can you open carry and another person open carrying are two different things. Okay.
Two different things. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Legally I can, and legally I can own as long as I have my license and all of that. And I will say that. And so I said to her, you know, I understand this is important, and I admire your want to be involved and want to, and help change, move forward. I admire that. But you also have to remember what you may appear to look like when you're out there. So, and because there aren't a lot of you around, you are easily spotted. And if somebody wants to make trouble, you know, some knucklehead wants to make trouble, it's easy to spot you than the other people that are out there. I'm not saying don't, and I'm not saying be afraid of them. I'm saying be aware. And so the mm-hmm. and my wife went with her. It wasn't like she went by herself, a 16-year-old.
Okay, good. Good.
So I said, you need to just be aware. And of course, when they were down there protesting, a guy came and he had his gun, his rifle out, and he stood. And everybody was like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm here to protect my town." And you know, and so all the other folk kind of gathered around him, saying, ignore him," like circling around him, protesting, "Ignore him."
Okay.
And of course, my wife and my daughter, they ignored him by getting in the car and coming back home. So it was
very good.
Right. It's like, okay, yeah. And so that's one side of the conversation that I'm kind of having with her, and then with my son, who they've basically grown up out here, and I had to say to him, you know, dude, you have a lot of friends out here, and I believe that they are true friends, but something happens when you start on a Pee Wee football team at 4 years old, and now you're taller than me and almost weigh as much as I do. You're not a cute little boy anymore. You're a black man
mm-hmm.
to some of these people now. And that kind of happened one day. We was at the grocery store with these people who had known him since he was Pee-wee. We're standing there. They stopped me and they're like, hey, we're just chatting, you know, in the grocery store. And he's standing beside me, but they don't say anything to him, right? They're just talking. And he's kind of looking around. I'm like, "This, you know what this is, right?" They're like, no. Is it one of your sons? I said, yeah, I only have two sons. I said, the one is almost 30 years old.
Wow,
They didn't even recognize him. Mm. And their children had grew up in it. So we got in the car, and that was the other conversation. I'm like, see what I mean? It changes, dudes. And once again, this is not for you to be afraid of anybody. It's for you to understand what some folks' perception
what they're
of
thinking.
Us
yeah,
can
perception.
Be. Yeah. So you have to be
exactly.
careful. You have to just be mindful of where you are and who you are when you're in these certain circumstances. And you know what else? I'm sorry. This just popped to me. This sister, her last name is Jones. I cannot remember. She had posted something where she gave this incredible, passionate, succinct speech about the contract that America had given to us as black folk and how they had broken a contract. She had used an analogy of Monopoly. I can't remember her name. What is her name? I want to say it starts with an A. Oh my goodness! But I'm sure.
Okay, we'll have to look it
exactly
up.
What we're talking
if
about.
Anybody knows,
yeah.
put it on social media and tag Curtis.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, it's been around. I think she's even done other interviews, and I think she's an author as well. But I'm saying this because I've watched that on my phone, and then I came down and threw it up on the television, and I made them to watch it because it was so synced. To think about how this country has given us, basically made us do all this work and has given us nothing for it and then continue to kill us on top of that. And how do you expect us to do anything, to move anything forward? It's your turn to pay this contract off because we have done everything in our power to pay this shit up. And you have not done that. And I will let them watch that. And then we had another nice big group conversation about race in America and what that can look like and how that appears to be, you know, I don't know how old you are, Joy, but I've been here before. I've been in this area before where it looks like, okay, finally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're around the same age. And so it's like, finally we're making the strides. We're changing. You know what I mean? And then it's like, huh? And then we're back in the same place. So I'm always skeptical to say how much of a change this movement is making. But I will say I woke up a few weeks ago when the marches had started, and it was one of the first mornings I woke up after the tragedy of George Floyd's murder, and where I felt like I could breathe, and like, no pun intended at all. But it was it felt as if the whole country in the world had taken one big step forward, just one step. I felt that in my soul
just
and my spirit.
Just a little
spirit.
Bit.
And I was like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to ride with this right now because I needed something on the positive note to kind
we
of ride
We need
on.
Some positivity, you know. A lot of people have been trying to, instead of focusing on the marches and things like that, but also let's pray whatever way you pray, you know. Let's do mental health work. This is the trauma that the other world is seeing that we as African Americans have to deal with. This is the trauma that happens to people. We get afraid the cops come behind us. We're in a store, people follow us. I was in Germany, people are following me around the store. I've been called a nigger. You know, my mom, she used to have to drive up and down the East Coast for her job, and she's a light, she's lighter than me, okay? She light, okay?
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And she worked for the government, and they still stopped her. They would tail her and track her to the county line, hoping that she would probably go over the speed limit. You see what I'm saying? And then she had, she could take a breath once she got to the other county, you know? So it's an ongoing thing. But let's get to something positive here. You are an actor, and I believe that is why you are feeling these things so sensitive, you know, you have to be. But let me ask you, why are you an actor? Why are you not something else? Why are you not a doctor? Why are you not an engineer? Why an actor?
Good question. The only thing that comes to mind immediately is that I feel like the profession of acting called me. I didn't grow up initially thinking I wanted to be acting. I thought I maybe would sing, you know, but I was just kind of a fanciful, you know, child's, you know, dream. I had a decent enough voice, but it wasn't until roughly until I got into the eighth grade when I really started to feel like, oh, maybe this could happen. It was help of a teacher, Miss Patricia Copeland, who actually helped me realize, you know what, there's a, you're good, a way to make a living out of doing this. You don't just have to do it here in Dayton at regional theaters or wherever else, you know, you can actually make a living out of this. And it was kind of her showing me different folks who did that. And it was like, oh, wow. And so that's when the training part of my acting kind of started around, you know, junior high into high school.
Yeah.
And then of course through college after that. But I like to say that the arts and acting called me. I mean, I was always silly. I was always making fun and, you know, taking on characters, you know, that old story. I was always in trouble in school. I was always allowed. I was that dude. It's like, okay, Curtis, it ain't funny no more. Stop.
Right,
just
right.
Stop.
Sit down. Sit down.
Just sit down. Right. I was that dude. But I now I can't see myself having done anything else. You know, I was fortunate enough to receive a full ride to the conservatory in London where I got my full training. And once again, that changed my life in a whole other trajectory as well.
You were the only or first to get a full, first American to receive that full ride scholarship, correct?
Yes, from that particular school, from Mountview. Yeah, at that time, that was back in the 80s. And the way that it came about was amazing as well, because I did the audition. Miss Susie Pisani had arranged the audition for me, and I did it, and they had just basically accepted me into the school at first. And so my parents sat down, and I'm the oldest of five, and we come from a lower middle class background. And really what that means is that we was poor, but we just didn't know that we was poor. Well, maybe my parents knew we was poor, but I didn't
but
know.
But you
we
guys
was poor.
Didn't know. You were poor.
Right. My brothers and sisters, not myself. But so she said, you know what, congratulations, you got into this school. And my parents sat there and they listened. They said, great, thank you very much. And we left out, got home, and I'm seeing my mom and my dad with these long faces. And I'm like, well, what's going on? It's like, hey, my dad's like, listen, this sounds like a wonderful opportunity for you. I know it will be, but we do not have anywhere near this money to pay for this school.
Yeah.
And I was crushed. I was like, okay, well, you know, hey, I guess not. And so I had to go back to Mrs. Sonny and basically tell her, I was like, hey, thank you for the opportunity. It was really nice, but unfortunately we can't. And, you know, and she stopped me and she said, hold on. We're not going to give up that easy. Just let me a few weeks later, Joy, and said, they will offer you a full ride to the school. And, you know,
blessings.
This,
oh my God!
Yeah,
wow. I can't imagine
so
your
many
face.
Blessings
your
in my
face.
Life.
Well,
yeah,
blessings. And look where you are now. You are on Showtime's The Shy. They're going into their third season, and you're playing this multifaceted character. His name, his good name is Otis Perry. His undercover name is Dowda. I mean, what is
Dowda? Duda.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when they said it at first, I had to listen a couple of times. Let me replay. What did they say?
Oh my God.
But
right.
He is like, I told you right before we came on the air, I was like, this snake. This snake here. When you were talking to Brandon, trying to tell him, you believe in him, and I just want to help you, my brother, and I see something in you. Ooh.
Right.
It just went up and down my spine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
oh,
that dude, he's a shut your mouth, ain't he? You know,
How did you get that character, that role? Did somebody call you? Did you see it in a paper? How did you get that role for him?
Well, so it came through the normal channels. I had an appointment through my agent, and fortunately enough, at that time I was doing another show. I believe I was doing Mayans MC, the first season.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in LA, so I couldn't go into a call, so they asked me to do a self tape for it. And the notes that came in were that this dude needed to be able to play the slick businessman, but authentically. And then on the other side of that, the one of the leaders of the 63rd Street mob. But what we don't want to see is like these two totally opposite dudes. We want to see a seamless transformation from this business dude into this other dude, so where you don't know which one he really is. And that was, to me, was like an afterstream. I hadn't been asked to do that, you know, in a television show or even in a movie for that point, because a lot of times television works in a very fast way. So you just they just need, not everybody, but some of them. And TV has changed because of a lot of the different outlets now, but earlier on, there were a lot of tropes that we were being asked to play. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, we just need you to be bad. Boom, come in and be bad. We just need you to be good. Come in and be good. Boom. You know? And
yeah,
this, fortunately enough, for this time,
characters. Right.
Exactly. So this allowed me to do, and I was like, okay, if y'all want to see that, I'm gonna give you that, and it's gonna be specific. It's gonna be nuanced, and it's gonna be, you know what I mean? It's not gonna be, you know, mustache twisting or anything, or no nerdy dude or whatever. So, so I sent my tape, right? And to be totally honest with you, Joy, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, they're probably not going to go for this because it's going to be too subtle. And you know what I mean? They're saying they want this, but they probably don't want this. But
they probably
don't. Right. And then, lo and behold, it was like, hey, they love that. They love what you did. And at the time, I believe the showrunner was Ayanna Floyd. I got to speak with her, and she's like, you know what, when I saw your tape, Lena and I, we were like, oh, my God, that's Duda. This dude right here is Duda. And that made me feel so good that I went with my gut and did what I felt like I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And it was received by Showtime and Lena and Common and Fox 21. And they allowed me to do that on the set as well. And I was like, wow. And that's when I knew that was one of the things that helped me know that this show here is something totally different. This is not just your regular I'm doing air quotes, television show. This show has heart, it has spirit, and it's really here to say something about our community. And it's really here to say it in an authentic, unapologetically black way.
Oh, exactly.
You know what I mean? And
the music, the kids, it shows kids' view. It shows adults' view.
Yes.
It's showing, you know, the well-to-do view. It's just showing middle class. It's showing, you know, lower class, if you want to say, the street kids. It's showing all these things, and they're all black. And I think that's what we want people to see. We are all these things. There are people who are drug dealers. There are people who are middle class to be lawyers. There are people who are chefs.
Yep.
There are people who are businessmen that own multiple franchises. We are not one faceted.
One thing.
I think we might have a caller here. Let's see what they have to say.
Oh,
they have
a
question. You're calling from 919 area code. I think it is 2926, the last four digits. Do you have a question for our guest, Curtis? Good afternoon. Okay, they're shy. They don't want to say anything. But, well, thank you so much for listening. That's okay. So let me ask you this. We're running out a little bit of time, but let me ask you, what's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie. One of my favorite movies is Nothing But a Man. It stars Ivan Dixon and Abby Lincoln. That's one of my favorite movies.
I was listening to her music. That's what I was just saying, Abby Lincoln.
Oh, uh-huh. And then another one is Coolie High. That's another one.
Oh, yes, Coolie High. Coolie High. To watch that 6 million times. Totally.
Right.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite book that you read? What about a favorite book that you read?
You know, a book that I kind of always kind of find myself going back to a lot is The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. And it's a small little book, but it's so impactful. It just kind of gives you a daily kind of helps you evaluate your own personal space and your own personal life in a very succinct and straightforward way. So that's one. And I love just about everything that Walter Mosley writes as well. I mean, Devil in a Blue Thread to even his science fiction stuff. And
he has a wide range. He has so many options to choose from, you know. I mean,
that's what I love.
And
him,
he's continuing to write, you know, so thankfully, you know, we still have him around, you know. Now, what about places to visit? Have you visited a lot of places? Is there one place that you would like to go over and over again on this planet when COVID is past?
Right. I get to travel a lot because of the work I'm fortunate enough to do. So I never was a big traveler. So I don't really have a total destination. But I'm willing to see. Am I being truthful? I think a lot of times I go to places and I might just stay in my room.
but you don't get to see the place, because you're just on location.
I'm just that kind of person that as long as I'm by myself sometimes, because I take stuff in wholly. I see everything and I hear everything, even when I don't want to sometimes. So sometimes things can be overwhelming to me. If I had to pick a place, if you were to force me to pick a place, when I was in Mozambique, I loved that. I love the people there and I love the culture there. And I would really love to go back there and see it, you know, years later. That's where I shot The Interpreter. I shot that out in Mozambique.
Okay. What about food? Mm-hmm. How about a favorite food that you like, that you maybe you cook or your wife cooks for you, or maybe your mom maybe cooked for you?
You know, my diet has changed now because my old and I can't digest things the way that I used to. But so I don't do the cheese. I don't do anything. I'm not vegan, but I'm damn near close to. But when you said it, the first thing that popped in my head was lasagna. And it's a soul food lasagna, so it has almost everything. It's almost like a stew with pasta, basically, because you're putting all kinds of stuff in this lasagna. It's just not the regular ingredients. But then when you said my mom, the first thing that popped in my head, and I have not had this in over 35 years, but as soon as you said my mom, but she used to make the best pork chops and cabbage and cornbread
I've ever tasted in my life. Yeah.
But I haven't had it in over 30 years, and I'm scared to try to have it now. But as soon as you said my mom,
you don't eat meat at all?
No, we eat fish and turkey, and maybe once every 2 or 3 months, I do like lamb because I'm just craving it. But other than that, we're strictly like tofu and if anything, fish. Yeah, most of the time.
So now, what are we going to see? Mm-hmm. What are we going to see about your character in season 3? It looks like from the trailer, he's much more out there, and there's some new people coming on.
Yeah, there's a lot of new folks coming on, which is exciting. And Duda, you're going to get an opportunity to see some of why he is how he is this season. You know, we get to go back into his life. I mean, they're introducing my wife this year. It's played by Candy Burris, and they're also going to introduce some more of my family members coming on that you'll get to see. And then the big thing
is he
going to
be on there? Because your son is an actor, right? Curtis Jr.?
Right. Curtis Jr. would not be on this show, but we did a Manifest together a few years back. Was it a year ago? This year, Duda's going to be running for the mayor of Chicago.
What?
Exactly.
Oh,
that's what I said.
Oh, my
when they
God.
Said, I was like, what? and the beauty of that, Joy, is that he's running against Lena Waithe's character. Lena Waithe is coming on the show this year as well.
Uh-oh.
So
we're
going to be
going
tit for tat. It's going to be a rumble in the jungle.
Curtis, thank you so much. You are a joy. No pun intended, to be on my show. And I love your character. It's a very nuanced, and you are doing a great job, and I wish you continued success. I hope your family is safe and healthy, and we all get through this COVID period, okay? And you keep
the
good work
up. Thank you very much. I'll always do my best. Take care.
All right. And don't forget those giveaways. You said you were sending something into me, right?
send me the address. Send me the address, and I'm going to send something from this, folks. It's going to be something from the shop.
Oh, my gosh.
Send me something.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Love.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with Curtis Cook from The Chi on Showtime. Season 3 going to be starting this Sunday, the 21st. You want to tune in. You don't want to miss it. There's a lot going on. You can follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. Also, check me out on Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. You guys have a great evening. Bye-bye.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.